If you attend church regularly, you see people serving the Lord all the time. People serve the Lord at church, and people serve the Lord in other places as well. We have all seen it. What is your response to it? That is, what is your response when you see somebody serving the Lord? That might be an odd question. How are you supposed to respond to that? Well, the reason I'm asking that question is that there is a psalm where the psalmist observed people serving the Lord and had something to say about it. And there is spiritual profit in that psalm for us. It's very short, but very significant. So turn with me to Psalm 134. And while you're doing that, let me say a few things about this psalm. If you've been tracking me as we've been going through the Psalter, you've heard me say now many times that beginning with Psalm 120 down through 134, which is the one we're going to look at today, plus Psalm 84, these psalms are all called ascent psalms because the psalmist is ascending up to Jerusalem to worship. Three times a year, the men in Israel were commanded to go to one of the feasts in Jerusalem, Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Passover, Feast of Tabernacles. And as they went, they sang these psalms. So this is a case where it is an ascent psalm. It's the last ascent psalm in the Psalter. The author is unknown, but this particular psalm has the psalmist seeing priests serving the Lord. They see them serving the Lord in the temple, and the psalmist calls on God to bless them. One author said, addressing the priest and the Levites who kept watch at the temple, the pilgrims asked the heavenly blessing to be given to them from Zion. Ah, that captures what's going on in this very short psalm. I want us to look at verse 1, which is saying, servants, you should bless the Lord. For example, look at verse 1. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Now, that statement is pretty straightforward. It starts with, behold. And as you've heard me say before, that's like us saying something like, hey, look at that. It's to get attention. It's to call attention. In this case, he's asking all the servants of the Lord to bless the Lord, who by night, interesting, are standing in the house of the Lord. So very simply, verse 1 is saying the psalmist calls the servants of the Lord to bless the Lord. Now, the servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord were priests who were on duty 24 hours a day. We know that from a verse in 1 Chronicles chapter 9. They served as guards at night as well as priests offering sacrifices during the day. Therefore, this is an exhortation for the priest to praise the Lord. The psalmist calls on them to praise the Lord even at night, which I thought was interesting. Someone put it like this. The pilgrims, that's the people ascending up to Jerusalem, call on the priest, the Lord's servant who ministered in the temple, to praise him with uplifted hands. After the usual daily schedule of activities at the temple in Jerusalem, the people returned to their homes. But there were priests and Levites who stood watch during the night, burning incense, giving thanks, and praising the Lord. It may be that as the people withdrew, they sang the first two verses of the song to the priest. It is certainly clear that the verses are addressed to the servants of the Lord on night duty in the temple, and the ministry of these men was to bless the Lord and lift up their hands toward the sanctuary in a posture of prayer. End of quote. Let me ask, is your duty to spend the night in watching? Spurgeon asked. Then spend the night in worship. Do not let the time of watching be idle, wasted time. But when others are slumbering and sleeping and you are necessarily watchful, sustain the praises of God's house. Let there be praise in Zion, still praise by night as well as by day. End of quote. So, Psalm 134 opens with, "You servants, praise the Lord. You servants who have to work all night, praise the Lord in the middle of the night." Verse 2 says basically the same thing. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. So as I mentioned a minute ago, the lifting up of hands signifies offering up praise to God and perhaps receiving blessing from Him. So the lifting up of hands in prayer was a common posture that symbolized the petitioners offering praise up to God and receiving blessing from Him. Blessing to the Lord, of course, is equivalent to praising Him by recounting all the things that He has done, all the ways He has blessed you. On Sunday morning, there is the pastoral prayer, and instead of listening to me pray, I often suggest that people in the congregation pray. And then I always say, and begin by praising the Lord for something He did for you last week. I take it that that's something of what's going on here. Bless the Lord, praise the Lord in the middle of the night, and no doubt for all of His blessings, but perhaps some of the blessings you received recently. At any rate, this is the point. While you are serving the Lord, you should praise the Lord. Interesting. This is addressed to servants of the Lord who are working in the house of the Lord. And they are the ones that are told to bless, to praise the Lord. All right. There are only three verses in this passage. And the first two are exhorting the servants to bless the Lord. Look at verse 3. The Lord who made heaven and earth bless you from Zion. Now, there is clearly a dramatical 180 turn. Instead of the priest praising the Lord, now the Lord blesses the servants. The Lord who made heaven and earth bless you. So the psalmist asked the Lord to bless the priest. That's clearly what's going on in the context of this passage. As the creator of the universe, He has the power to bestow enormous blessings on His servants, the priest. As the pilgrims who came to Jerusalem to observe one of those annual feasts of Israel left for home, it was most appropriate for them to ask the Lord to bless the priest who were serving Him, and they just would say, "Lord, bless them." Isn't that interesting? Did you ever go to church and see people serving the Lord and pray, "Lord, bless them"? An interesting little thought, isn't it? Notice that the Lord who made heaven and earth bless you. The reference to God being the maker of heaven and earth is emphasizing His greatness. This verse is also appropriate to conclude the collection of the ascent psalms. It concludes with, that is this group of psalms, by saying, "The Lord bless you." The response in verse 3 is the blessing of the priest invoking God's blessing on the people individually. One author says, notice four things about the blessing. The blesser, the Lord, the covenant-keeping God, his greatness, he made heaven and earth. The one blessed, may the Lord bless you. And it's singular in the Hebrew text. So he's saying, Lord, bless these individuals. And fourth, the locale of the blesser, Zion, which of course was the place of the sanctuary. Now, if there's any application to this verse, it is clearly what I said a minute ago. When you see somebody serving the Lord, I start out by saying, what's your response? Well, maybe it should be to pray for them and ask the Lord to bless them. I would sum up this psalm by saying, when you see people serving the Lord, exhort them to praise the Lord. That's the first two verses. And pray for the Lord to bless them. What a great thought. What a great thought indeed. Thank God. And pray for those people who serve the Lord by serving you, such perhaps as your pastor who teaches the scripture, and all those people who do things behind the scenes or there would never be a service. I often think I don't do what I do without other people being involved. If I were the only one serving the Lord on Sunday morning, there wouldn't be much done. It takes a whole bunch of people to conduct a spiritual service. But I want to talk about this for a minute. This provokes some thought. One commentator said, people who serve the Lord sometimes experience what is called today burnout. According to the Mayo Clinic, quote, job burnout is a special type of work-related stress, a state of physical and emotional exhaustion that also involves a sense of reduced accomplishment and loss of personal identity. Burnout isn't a medical diagnosis. Some experts think that other conditions, such as depression, are behind burnout. Researchers point out that individual factors such as personality traits, family life, and the influence who experiences job burnout. All right, let's talk about burnout. And we're talking about servants of the Lord, and we're asking the Lord to bless them. Maybe it's because they need it. So let me ask, what is the cause of job burnout that can affect you in your ministry for the Lord? How would you know if you got job burnout? And what do you do about it? Now, this could be a servant of the Lord serving in church. It could be you working at your job. But I think the idea of this psalm that you ask the Lord to bless his servants makes this subject appropriate. The article I referred to a minute ago lists the symptoms of job burnout. It suggests that you ask yourself the following. Have you become critical or cynical at work? Do you drag yourself to work and have trouble getting started? Have you become irritable or impatient with coworkers, customers, or clients? Do you lack the energy to consistently be productive? Do you find it hard to concentrate? Do you lack satisfaction from your achievement? Do you feel disillusioned about your job? Are you using food, drugs, or alcohol to feel better or simply not to feel? Have your sleep habits changed? Are you troubled by unexplained headaches, stomach or bowel problems, or other physical complaints? I thought that was an interesting list because it's related to job burnout. Now, obviously, some of those things could be caused by some other problems, but those things can also cause burnout. The article goes on to say, if you answered yes to any of these questions, you might be experiencing job burnout. Consider talking to a doctor or a mental health provider, because these symptoms can be treated, can also be treated to health conditions such as depression. All right, what about a solution? Now, we've talked about the causes, just fatigue and your job. Well, what about the solution? The article suggests such things as evaluate your options, seek support by relaxing activity, getting some exercise, getting some sleep, those kinds of things. One of the things that intrigued me personally about the article was the statement, quote, researchers point out that individual factors such as personality traits, family life, influence those who experience job burnout. It seems to me that there's a type of person who is great at being faithful in serving the Lord, even doing things for which they don't get a lot of recognition. But those kind of people are prone to complain and to criticize. Those are the people who are faithful but complain that others aren't as faithful as they are. I have seen that over and over as I have spent years as a pastor. There are other issues involved in what is called burnout. It's possible for the servant of the Lord to get so involved in the work of the Lord that he or she is overworked and needs to take a break. Even Jesus took the disciples apart from a public ministry. Servants of the Lord need to come apart from service before they come apart personally. So Jesus said to the disciples, come apart. Let's take a break. So even Jesus and the disciples did that. To illustrate how widespread this problem is, consider the fact that pastors who are dedicated servants experience burnout at a surprising high rate. An article in the New York Times said, and I'm quoting, a recent study by Barna, a Christian research organization, showed that pastors are struggling with burnout at unprecedented levels. Barna reports that in March of 2022, quote, the percentage of pastors who have considered quitting full-time ministry within the past year sits at 42%. This sharp rise was first seen in November 2021, with the number of pastors who reported that they were considering resignation up to 9 percentage points from January of 2021. So just from January to November in 2021, the percentage increased 9%. Younger pastors are particularly affected by burnout, the study said, noting that 46% of pastors under the age of 45 said they are considering quitting the ministry, compared to 34% of pastors 45 and older. End of quote. Is this interesting? Who would suspect that pastors would have burnout? There is no doubt that some simple, practical things need to be done to prevent exhaustion in any work, including ministry. Perhaps some of what is called burnout can be prevented by being thankful and grateful for the opportunity to serve. In short, bless the Lord for the privilege of serving. Isn't that what this psalm is saying? I mean, think about this. They were working the night shift. They were working all night. Now, it would seem to me, if there was any situation in which you could experience what we call today burnout, it might be having to work all night. Well, this psalm addresses just that. Praise the Lord. And you who know of people who are working a difficult job, pray that the Lord blesses them. There's a passage in the New Testament that says something similar, and I want to conclude by referring to it. This is very important. This passage struck me many years ago and has had an effect on me. It's in Colossians chapter 3, and it's addressed to slaves. Now, slavery in the first century was not quite like slavery in America at its founding. There were differences, but it was slavery. And the slaves had no choice. They had to obey their masters, or there could be severe consequences. Now, here's what Paul said to slaves. Give an ear. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Now let me pause. Are you kidding me? He has to tell slaves who had no choice that they should obey their masters? Of course they have to obey their masters. But that's not quite his point. I paused where I should not have. Let me go back and read the verse in its entirety. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Oh. In other words, he's not just telling them to obey their masters. He's telling them to obey their masters with the right attitude. Oh, that's radically different. Not with eye service, meaning what your master can see. You're not serving so that he sees what you're doing, but behind his back, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. So don't do it with eye service. Don't try to just do it to please the master. He says, with eye service as men pleasers. But sincerity of heart, fearing God. Now there's more, as if that isn't bad enough for the servant or the slave. He says, and whatsoever you do, do heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. That's an interesting thought. By the way, I'm reading from Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. But did you hear what he said to slaves who had masters and they had to obey them? He's saying, no, you really need to do this as unto the Lord. And if you do it as unto the Lord, you'll receive a reward. Isn't that interesting? What do you have to do to be rewarded when you stand before the Lord? We think of great and mighty things like some preacher who's preached to thousands. According to this, slaves get rewarded for doing what they're supposed to do. No, what they have to do, provided they do it heartily as unto the Lord. So, the last point is simply this. If you're a servant of the Lord, bless the Lord. And if you see servants serving the Lord, pray that the Lord blesses them. Father, thank you for the privilege of serving you, whatever capacity we do that. Thank you for giving us this encouragement to do it as unto you, and for the promise that we receive a reward if we do. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.